Chapter 14.
Proceed.
Are you certain, Luthor? I mean, it's not like you to trust anyone else, and certainly not with...
I don't have a choice. It's the only way I can make this work.
This is more complicated than you make it sound.
If it were easy, I would do it myself.
The trigger?
Exactly as we discussed.
And if I choose to double-cross you?
I am maintaining constant monitoring throughout the procedure. The moment I notice anything even remotely suspicious, Mercy turns you into charcoal briquettes.
I've already seen signs of older tampering in here, Luthor.
I know. Just do what I asked you to.
As you wish. Now, hold still. This may sting.
Kyle was brushing his teeth in preparation for bed when his ring suddenly gave a loud chime. He spluttered in surprise, spraying foam all over his bathroom mirror. He hurriedly put his toothbrush down, trying to spit and wipe his mouth at the same time when the genderless, inflectionless voice came from his glowing green ring. All officers in the vicinity of Sector 2814, code 060606 in progress, destination provided. Repeat, code 060606. Kyle's expression in the mirror was worried. It wasn't someone specific asking for help. That was the ring's voice. So that made it likely that the ring itself had picked up the... 060606? What was that? He mused as he willed his costume to appear. The cool green glow spread from his ring to cover his body. The towel he'd been wearing vanished, and the remaining flecks of toothpaste around his mouth whisked away by the energy as his skin-tight uniform manifested on him. Ring, display location of 060606 in progress, he said firmly. While he could have simply willed it to show him, it made him more comfortable to actually address the ring when it was talking like this. He fed a trickle of will into it, and a glowing green display appeared over his head, showing first the entire sector before zooming in on the solar system, then on Earth, then towards the continental U.S., before the image settled, with a large crosshairs, over an area on the west coast, California. He frowned, zooming the image in tighter. Another burst of will cross-referenced the topographical image it was zooming in on against an Earth-based map database, and it gave him the exact location. The remains of Coast City. Whatever was happening there. He rose into the air, streamlining his body as he shot out his bathroom window and into the sky. He flew angled upwards, willing the ring to get him there as quickly as possible. That meant a high ballistic trajectory. That would take him just outside the atmosphere before he angled back down, using gravity to help speed him to his destination. He'd just remembered what an 060606 was. That was the code for intent to destroy or bring harm to the universe. As he rose, another man in a green and black uniform joined him, dropped down lower before matching his speed and angle. His boots seemed larger than absolutely necessary, and the closed coat of his uniform bulked him up considerably. The man had red hair, a cocky expression, and flew with his white-gloved fist extended out. The extended fist that had a glowing green ring. His green aura flared and sparked around him, in contrast to the smooth, almost quavery aura that surrounded Kyle.
"Hey!" the red-headed man shouted.
Kyle nodded to his partner. Technically, they'd both been recently reassigned by the Guardians to duty on Oa. Technically, it was a promotion, as the Green Lantern Corps' honor guard was made up of their best. Beings who had no specifically assigned sector, but were essentially roving troubleshooters. The orders had come in only a few days ago, and both he and Guy had been in the process of getting ready to relocate. The Corps had been gone for years, and for a while, it had only been Kyle fighting the good fight, as the last Green Lantern. But events had brought it all back. Everything. Even Hal, the man who had destroyed the Corps in the first place, had turned out to have only been possessed by... something. Kyle wasn't too clear on the details. But where he'd been a lone hero once, the last of his kind, now he was part of the Corps. And Guy Gardner, attitude, temper, and all, was the man they'd selected to work with him. A lot of the time, Kyle suspected that the reason he and Guy were getting reassigned to Oa was because there were already too many humans in the Corps. Most species were lucky to have one of their number selected to join the Corps in a century. Earth had 4 humans selected in under 20 years, and 2 more humans who used a Green Lantern-like power, but weren't technically in the Corps. Maybe we're just lucky, Kyle thought to himself. And lucky's going to have me moving to the center of the universe as a result. He shook his head to clear it, then turned to Guy and asked, "Hey, Guy, you have any idea what's going on?" Their ring's communications functions worked transparently. It simply appeared as though they were speaking to each other directly, but the roar of the wind would have made normal speech impossible. The other man shook his head. "No clue. Last time I heard that code was..." His face twisted up in concentration for a moment, which quickly turned to concern. He cursed. "The crisis." "Which one?" Kyle asked. "The big one, back in 86, Guy replied, looking even more worried. "That was around the time when I got my ring, way before your time, kid." Kyle shared his frown, although it was hidden behind his mask. Guy never wore one. He was one of those heroes who eschewed the idea of a secret identity. He wanted everyone to know who he was, and he wanted them wetting their pants as a result. That was just the kind of guy he was. I think Wally told me about some of that. That's when we lost the second Flash, right? "Him and a whole bunch of other people. It was bad," Guy muttered. "Real bad. We had everyone in on that fight. Heroes and villains from all over the place." "Bad as Parallax trying to rewrite time?" Kyle asked. Guy nodded. "Maybe a bit worse. At least you could kind of talk to Hal." Kyle looked grim and thoughtful as he reached the top of their arc and began the downward portion of their flight. He tried to set his ring to scan ahead, perhaps give them some indication of what they might encounter, but every probe to the immediate vicinity of Coast City simply fizzled out, without providing him with any information. Guy glanced over, noticing what he was doing. "So, nothing?" Kyle simply shook his head. Guy shrugged and gave him a thumbs up. "We'll be fine. If this was a really big deal, I'm sure someone else would have gotten some sort of alarm or something, and we wouldn't be the only ones heading there." Kyle was about to answer when 2 more green streaks zipped closer to them, matching their velocity and heading. 2 more men in green, white, and black uniforms flew near them. One, a brown-haired man in a skin-tight outfit and a mask. His aura flared brilliantly. The other, a black man with close-cropped hair and a mostly black uniform, flew without a mask and precisely delimited green glow that extended exactly 1 inch from his body in every direction. "John, Hal," Kyle called out to them. "You guys got called in, too?" John Stewart, the man without a mask, nodded. "Code 060606. We were taking care of something in low Earth orbit when the call came in." Guy called back in good-natured mocking. "Nah, we got it. You guys go grab a coffee or something." Hal smiled a little, but shook his head. "This sounds big, Guy. We'd be awful embarrassed if you guys got all the glory on this one." Kyle glanced at Hal thoughtfully. He knew the man still felt like he had a lot to answer for. Every mission was another chance to find redemption, he mused. John was another story. He'd been crippled in the chaos left in the wake of Hal's rampage, and had only recently gotten back the use of his legs and a Green Lantern ring. He was just happy to be back in action, regardless. Kyle quipped at Guy. "Well, we got 2 more guys called in. Do you think this is a big deal yet?" Guy laughed. "You kidding? Whoever is down there was already facing enough trouble, because they had 2 Green Lanterns swooping in on them from orbit. Now we got 4. He grinned savagely. "Even if it's just you 2 added to the mess, they're frickin' toast." They swooped down towards the crater where Coast City had once been. Even after all this time, the wreckage of the city still existed at its edges, but most of it was suffused with greenery. The whole was a veritable garden created by the Swamp Thing as a memorial to Hal when they'd believed he'd given his life. In the center of that garden, there was a cleared area where an eternal flame burned. Kyle had created it during his stint as the Solo Lantern, and it served as a monument to the 7 million who had died when the city had been destroyed, and to Hal Jordan, who had once given up his life to reignite the sun. All that was changing again. Hal was alive once more, and there were some tentative, very tentative, construction projects being undertaken just north of the crater, which were supposed to become a new coast city. Kyle heard that survivors and previous residents had started looking into moving back into the area. The area, Kyle noted with worry and mounting frustration, that continued to defy his attempts to probe. They were already almost at the edge of the area that was turning aside his scanning attempts, and was tempted to have his fellow lanterns stop. But he couldn't really see anything strange about the area they were about to fly into. The ring provided the image that the source of the code 060606 was the Eternal Flame itself. Kyle had a moment of worry, wondering if something in his creation was causing the problem. As they coasted in, he felt something like a sudden sharp change in air pressure, almost like he'd gone through a grocery store air curtain, and he thought he saw a slight ripple in the air as they passed. John also picked up on it. He'd stopped in mid-air, signaling the other three to halt as well. Did you guys feel that? Hal, who Kyle noticed had been too focused on their destination, said, I'm not sure. Kyle nodded and glanced over to Guy. Did you? Yeah, felt funny, like a...
Guy glanced over his shoulder at where the invisible boundary had been and extended a beam from his ring. It stopped suddenly, and the air distorted and rippled round the beam, like water thrown into a pond.
Damn it! Force field!
John floated back to where the beam had stopped and reached out a hand. He encountered what felt like solid air beneath his fingertips.
Trap, he sighed. We walked right into it.
Hal raised a hand above his head and flared the emerald energy. It lit up a hemispherical dome, several hundred yards in diameter, centered on the Coast City Monument.
All the way around. It's letting visible light through, but I can't get a scan out past it.
Kyle agreed. Me neither. Looks like it goes into the ground, too.
Hal shook his head ruefully. Like a bunch of amateurs.
John said,
Well, we are a little out of practice.
Guy jerked a thumb at Kyle.
What's your excuse, kid?
Kyle shrugged defensively.
Hey, I was trying to slow down to check this out, but you guys were in a hurry.
John raised a hand.
Let's focus on the problem here. Our scans are working in here now. Is anyone picking up anything that might be the code 060606?
Hal spun, pointed to the base of the Coast City Monument.
There's someone there. One human life sign.
Guy didn't even hesitate. He charged downward at the human figure. Kyle moved in to back up his partner's move. Hal and John followed, a fraction of a second later. Guy gave a battle cry and sent a battering ram of green energy crashing towards the figure. The cylinder of energy seemed to splash off the figure's open hand. None of them could get a good look at the individual, obscured by the dust and shards of energy that Guy was throwing up. Even seeing his first attack deflected almost negligently. He charged in, ramming into the figure with his own body, intending to tackle him and bear him down to the ground for pounding. That was the plan, anyway. But the moment Guy made contact, he was suddenly thrown backwards. He hurtled past his startled fellow lanterns, spinning wildly. Hal manifested a giant catcher's mitt of green light and caught him before he got much further. Kyle confirmed to himself that Guy was unhurt, but for his pride. A gust of wind cleared to reveal a bald man in a suit. He frowned, and the lanterns approached a bit more cautiously. As the dust settled out of the air, the man's features became clearer. It was Lex Luthor, wearing a black, expensively tailored suit. He had a bright green tie and was smirking at them.
Gentlemen,
Welcome to Coast City. He gestured with one hand, the other held behind his back. He seemed unarmed to Kyle, but he'd somehow managed to not just repel Guy's attack, but he'd hurtled the man back. Kyle noted some sort of machinery with wires leading up to the emerald-hued eternal flame. Kyle wasn't certain, but it almost looked like he was doing something with the green energy that fueled the flame. Hal floated lower. He had the most experience in the field, and Kyle was more than happy to let him take the lead. Guy didn't look like he was in much of a mood to talk, and John was speaking to him in a low voice, trying to calm him down. "Luthor," Hal said coolly, "what's going on?" He grinned smugly at them. "Don't worry about the 060606. I was just trying to get your attention." "What possible reason could you have for trying to get us here?" Hal asked, his ring beginning to flare brightly. "Honestly?" Lex asked with sudden and disarming sincerity. "A code 31423. Kyle worked it out in his head. 31423 was an intent to destabilize universal forces. If unattended, it could lead to an 060606. So what exactly had the ring picked up? Or had Lex somehow... Kyle glanced back to the mechanism with the wires leading into the green flame. He must have used that to send us the message, Kyle realized quickly. I have no clue what that is, but if it can send a message through our rings, what else can it do? How did you know the... Hal started to ask. Kyle was at the point of interrupting him with a warning when Lex whipped his other hand out from behind him. He was holding... a teddy bear. In fact, he was holding up what appeared to be a storytime teddy, albeit one in an altered outfit. Kyle had once dated a woman who'd had one. Normally, the storytime teddy was dressed in a bright red t-shirt and bear-sized blue jeans. This one seemed to be wearing a red jumpsuit and had blue trunks, gloves, and boots. The tiny jumpsuit even had a hood. It looked like a terribly cute teddy bear depiction of a manhunter. "No one move. I have a bear," Lex declared forcefully. Kyle could tell he was having trouble keeping himself from laughing. His announcement was met with silence by the Green Lanterns. Guy was about to laugh. Then the bear's chest suddenly unfolded like a fuzzy bit of origami to reveal a glowing green hemisphere surrounded by electronics. Guy floated closer and mocked him. "I think you've been fighting Supes just a little too long, Lexi. He's the one vulnerable to kryptonite. This is just a light show for us." Lex grinned. "You haven't seen the light show yet." The bear incongruously said in a sing-song voice, "No man escapes the manhunters." Whatever it was in the stuffed toy's chest flared, and arcs of energy shot out of the Green Lantern's rings. Lex released the bear, which had begun glowing green, and it hung in the air suspended on streamers of power coming from their rings. Kyle could feel the loss of power, and just to confirm for him, the ring's genderless voice began counting down its available power. 53% power remaining. He could see his companions all struggling against the power drain in their own ways. Kyle kept his full concentration on just trying to pull the power back into the ring, but the drain was relentless. He could see the more experienced lanterns attempting to split off additional beams to attack Luthor or the bear. Hal created a giant fist to smack the bear down, but the construct was immediately sucked into the bear's chest, shredding into ribbons of light before it could even make contact. John had attempted to blast both Lex and the bear, but anything coming too close to the bear just kept being shredded while anything attempting to strike Lex splashed off that invisible field around him. Guy tried another charge, but the closer he got to the bear, the faster the drain. He fell down just yards short of the floating bear. He gave a surprised cry as he struck the ground, his ring declaring almost sadly, "Ring depleted." Lex took a few steps forward, not getting in the way of the energy arcs between the bear and the rings, but bringing him close enough to Guy. Guy was still stunned by the fall and wasn't in any shape to react when Lex gave him a sharp kick to the jaw. Not enough to knock him out, but it snapped his head back, flipping him onto his back. Almost languidly, Lex put a foot onto Guy's chest and pulled a pistol out from under his coat. Kyle noted idly that it was some sort of huge hand cannon, a 45 or something like it. The fact that it was a regular gun seemed almost incongruous, given whatever else Lex had been using. Lex leveled the gun at Guy's head and called out to the rest of them, "Stop resisting the drain, or Gardner..." He trailed off, giving his pistol a meaningful waggle. Kyle, Hal, and John traded glances. There wasn't much left to resist, though. All their rings were in the single digits already from the drain. All three relaxed, letting themselves drift down to the ground as their rings continued down to... ring depleted. Lex stepped back, gesturing with his gun to Gardner to join his companions. Guy got up cautiously, staggering back to his fellow lanterns. His jaw was already starting to swell. Lex glanced over at the bear, whose green glow had been steadily intensifying during the drain. "Energy available," it sing-songed. The voice was seriously creeping Kyle out. "Executing repairs." A human-sized aura manifested around the bear, in the form of a manhunter. It was all in green, but the design was unmistakable. Kyle noticed, through the translucent manhunter form, that the bear seemed to be creating changes to itself, from the tiny pads that ended its arms and legs. Tiny plush fingers and toes had begun to unfold. Lex snapped, "Override!" And then he rattled off something that Kyle didn't understand. It sounded... Owen? He couldn't be sure, of course. With the ring depleted, the auto-translate functions weren't working either. He supposed he should have been glad that Luthor had not completely drained the ring. Otherwise, he'd be in the middle of the remains of Coast City, under the power of a mad scientist, wearing nothing but a towel. The aura gutted out, and Teddy's chest opening irised shut. He kept the tiny fingers, which waggled and flexed as Lex snatched him out of the air. "Nice try." "Curse you, Luthor," the bear sung out in its sing-song tone. John stared incredulously. "You have a teddy bear manhunter?" Lex shrugged, then put the teddy bear on his shoulder where it clung. It had, as best as Kyle could tell from its plushy features and black cotton eyes, a sour expression. "I have many things. Now, I need to speak with you gentlemen. Can someone please make sure to keep Gardner muzzled back there?"
Guy looked like he was about to charge Luthor once more, but Kyle put a hand on his shoulder and held him back. The younger man whispered, "Let's find out what he actually wants first."
Hal took a step closer to Luthor, who responded by aiming his pistol at the man.
"I think that's close enough, Jordan."
"You know who I am?" Hal looked surprised. Luthor gave Hal an expression which Kyle read as, "Are you really this stupid?"
"You are an Air Force test pilot. Your identity and history are a matter of public record. You used to be seen hanging out with two Green Lanterns who have public identities. Your personal history matches the second Green Lantern quite closely. It was quite elementary, if you think about it. And even if I hadn't bothered with the research, your reaction pretty much told me everything I needed to know."
Kyle twitched nervously as Lex seemed to focus on him.
"Yes, I know who you are as well, Mr. Raynor. You used to keep your identity better hidden when you had that other mask. But once you switched to the little domino mask like Mr. Jordan, facial recognition software picked you out with little difficulty."
Lex waggled the gun idly as he spoke.
"That, and if you're going to date a woman with bright green skin, you could afford to be a little more discreet. My researcher had you picked out even before she ran across your TV appearance."
John looked frustrated, but was doing his best to keep his temper bottled in. He wasn't quite as volatile as Guy, but he had his limits.
"What do you want, Luthor?"
Luthor raised the gun, no longer aiming it at them. He spoke softly.
"I want many things. Most of all, I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to get back at those who did this to us."
The men looked confused at this, but kept quiet.
"Also, I want you," he reached into his coat and pulled something out,
then tossed it towards Kyle. To sign this, that researcher I was telling you about who figured out who you were, turns out she's a fan. He was holding out the graphic novel compilation of Kyle's comic strip from the magazine. She'd love an autograph. Lex wrinkled his nose. It's not really my cup of tea, but she likes it. Without quite meaning to, Kyle grinned. That's cool. Sure, I'd be glad to... He stopped as he realized the other three were staring at him. Maybe now isn't exactly the best time. Lex barked a sharp laugh. Maybe not. Lex tapped his belt, and a shimmer in the air surrounding him faded. He tossed the gun to one side, letting it crash into the grass-covered ground, as he held out his open palms to the men. My force field is now off. I am unarmed. My only insurance at the moment is Teddy, who can probably release his pilfered green energy in the form of an explosive blast that will, no doubt, kill us all. He paused for emphasis. Being at the epicenter, I would be the first to die. I want to give you gentlemen some information, Lex continued seriously. Then I am going to give you the means to verify my information. At which point, I will tell you of my plans and how following them would benefit you and this entire planet. More confusion passed among the Earth-based Green Lanterns before Hal spoke up. What information do you have that could possibly interest us, Luthor? First of all, Lex gestured to the sullenly silent teddy bear on his shoulder. I'd like you to meet what's left of what used to be Paul Westfield, former Cadmus director. He used to run all Manhunter operations on Earth. Hal blinked in surprise. That really is a Manhunter? The bear shook a tiny plush fist at Hal. No man escapes the Manhunters. And you put it in a Storytime Teddy? Kyle asked incredulously. John narrowed his eyes. Why is it obeying you? I figured out most of his override codes, Lex said, almost negligently. There's a lot of material to cover, but I think I can sum it up. I'm still waiting for something interesting, Hal said, crossing his arms. Lex grinned. Short version, a week ago I discovered a millennial-long Manhunter conspiracy to cripple the development of this planet. Right now their masters haven't realized yet that there is a problem. This is a very small window of opportunity available to rid the universe of them. And these masters are? John asked skeptically. The Guardians, Lex replied. Guy gave a triumphant ha! And then added, I knew we couldn't trust those blue midgets. Hal frowned. The Manhunters rebelled against the Guardians millions of years ago. You're either mistaken or lying. Lex sneered. And who told you that bit of information, Guy shook a finger at Luthor. Hey, as much as I don't trust them, I trust you a lot less. I'm surprised your eyes aren't brown, 'cause you're full of crap. Kyle had a worried expression on his face. I think we're going to need the long version for this. Lex raised a finger and spoke in a pedantic tone. I have access to dozens of individual Manhunter memory archives, but even if you do not trust that, there is with you at this very moment proof that the so-called Manhunter's rebellion was at the Guardian's command. Proof that the first grand slaughter they performed was ordered by the Guardians. John's mouth was a hard line. That's a very tall accusation. So, what is this proof you're talking about? Luthor pointed at Hal Jordan's hand. Your ring. It's the same one that was given to you by Abin Sur of Urga, correct? Hal closed his fist and glanced down at the ring. It's been replaced and destroyed and reformed several times. This isn't the same... Kyle shook his head. No, that's pretty much the same one. This last ring you got was a duplicate of a time-traveling version of your first ring. Luthor nodded. In essence, the same ring. And it should still have the molecular memories from its time with Abin Sur. Guy looked even more annoyed. What does that have to do? You're talking about Abin Sur's time with the five inversions, Hal said softly, having realized what Luthor was driving at. Kyle looked lost. The what who now? John spoke. The five inversions were the only survivors of the slaughter of Sector 666. Lex nodded. Five survivors out of trillions of sentients. They only survived because they had been functionally immortal. Now, here's the part I find interesting, he continued, starting to pace. The Guardians decided to have these poor wretches crucified and left alone on Yzmalt, which they had forbade any Green Lantern from visiting. Didn't that strike anyone as a little suspicious? Guy said, so what if they were there? The Guardians had a perfectly good prison back on Oa. What were they called? Science cells? In any case, why not keep them there? I mean, besides making sure that they don't speak to any of the Green Lanterns. Hal snapped. You're leaving out the part where they unleashed a reign of terror across three galaxies to create their Empire of Tears. Lex smiled indulgently. Five individuals, across three galaxies. Awfully cooperative of them to set themselves up as a force to hurl the newly formed Green Lantern Corps at. Makes for a good story, too, doesn't it? The survivors of a sector-wide tragedy, driven mad with grief, creating an empire whose stated goal is to destroy the Guardians. Didn't anyone think it was strange that the Guardians were the focus of their rage and not the Manhunters?
Because they saw us, Teddy sing-songed. Hal and John exchanged surprised glances. Guy raised an eyebrow, and Kyle asked, how does this get back to Abin Sur?
Abin Sur defied the Guardian's prohibition and visited Yzmalt. First, without meaning to, but more often as he ended up speaking to the five inversions and learning from them. Their millennia of crucifixion had driven them all mad, but Abin Sur was able to break through to them long enough to get the whole story, Lex replied. The five inversions were exactly what the Guardians did not want. Witnesses. They could not be killed, so the Guardians did their best to keep them contained and unable to tell their story.
Until Abin Sur, Hal said flatly. Kyle could tell the others were becoming interested, despite themselves. Even Guy. Even if this were all just an elaborate lie, it still made for a fascinating story. Supposedly, the five inversions gave Abin Sur a prophecy of the darkest night, the events leading up to the destruction of the Green Lantern Corps, John said. I got a glimpse of it in the Book of Oa, but it's not something they let out.
Not surprising, Lex agreed. But it's not accurate by any means. What they gave him was an eyewitness account of a massacre. Didn't anyone wonder why Abin Sur was flying a ship when he crashed on Earth, rather than using his ring?
Again, the Green Lanterns of Earth exchanged thoughtful, surprised looks. Hal responded.
I was told he received a prophecy that he would die when his ring failed him at a crucial moment, which is why he tended to use a ship for long-distance travel.
Lex snorted.
That's an awful generic prophecy. Also, rather conveniently likely to come true when you use a willpower-based weapon. Every moment he uses his ring, he'd be wondering if this would be the moment his ring fails. Constantly undermining his self-confidence and will. No, it should be obvious why he would start using the ship, given what he learned on Yzmalt.
Lex paused for dramatic effect.
He stopped trusting the ring. The ring was a tool of the Guardians.
John made a cutting gesture with one hand.
I'm hearing a lot of stories, Luthor, but nothing that sounds like proof so far. How do you even know this?
Manhunter memories are surprisingly well detailed and go back for a very long time, Lex replied offhandedly. As for the proof, Abin Sur was coming to Earth because he was expecting to find something here to help him fight back against the Guardians.
What, here? Guy scoffed.
This planet is a Guardian weapons depot.
Lex replied slyly. Why else have so many of their soldiers and so much of their attention taken up by a single, insignificant little blue world in the middle of nowhere? Keeping this cache of weapons safe was his old job.
Lex jerked a thumb at the teddy bear, still balanced on his shoulder.
John asked, If he was coming here for weapons, what happened?
Teddy piped up. We did human.
The lanterns stared at the bear as it continued to speak.
Others of our number had been posted to Yasmult as guards. We watched as he took a telepathically dictated eyewitness account of the massacre of Sector 666. When we passed this information to the masters, they told us that Abinsur's usefulness had come to an end.
Your masters? Kyle asked. The guardians?
The bear nodded and continued.
We attacked, but he resisted long enough to flee. Our fellow manhunters chased him to this world. He thought he could land here and be in a position to ambush his pursuers. He did not realize we had a sizable presence on this world. We shot him out of the sky, saturated the aura with golden radiation to prevent his ring from saving him.
Hal strode forward before Lex could react and snatched the teddy from his shoulder.
You killed Abinsur?
I can still blow up, you know,
Teddy said, waggling plush eyebrows at him.
We did not, in fact, succeed. When he had crashed, he would have had enough consciousness and power within his ring that he could have saved his life.
That's not true. I saw him. He was almost dead.
Incorrect, Hal Jordan,
the teddy responded with just a hint of smugness. Or as much smugness as one could project when one was about a foot tall, plushy, and being held in the fist of a very angry Green Lantern.
He could have saved himself. He could have fled the area and gotten medical attention, but we speculated at the time that he felt his primary duty was to hide the information he had and make sure it would be available for later use.
He summoned you, Lex continued. But he also encoded the record in a form that the Manhunters would not be able to find, and sent it off with someone they would not suspect.
Me? Hal looked skeptical as Lex nodded.
That doesn't make any sense. If it's with me, how...
Your ring. He couldn't make the record directly into the ring's memory, since it would become accessible to the Guardians, and they could easily remove it. The Manhunters, in the guise of the CIA, actually saw him doing it, but didn't realize what he was doing at the time.
Lex gestured grandly.
On the other hand, I have a brilliant and suspicious mind, as well as access to a telescopic microscopic visualizer and access to N'Garian video-audio codexes.
What are you talking about?
Guy demanded. Kyle, however, was the first to realize what he meant.
He encoded the message like a video stream, then scratched it onto the ring's surface?
Lex pointed at him and declared, You may go to the head of the class. He couldn't record the message into the ring's memory, but he could etch molecular-sized grooves into the ring's inner surface, allowing him to keep the record out of Manhunter and Guardian hands. It's like writing coded messages on the spool of a cassette tape, rather than onto the tape itself.
John cut him off. Enough dramatic build-up. I'm assuming you can read the recording?
Lex casually walked back to the mechanism near the Eternal Flame and pulled out a microscopic camera, which was attached to a small LCD monitor, the whole thing held together by a rubber band. He tossed it towards John, who only barely managed to catch it.
You clearly don't believe me. Look for yourself.
John eyed him suspiciously, and unwound the camera cable from the screen. He nodded to Hal, who slipped the ring off his hand and held it out to John. Once he'd set things up, they all crowded around the screen, as he ran the lens against the inner surface of the ring.
They could see a gridwork of faint, shallow grooves in the surface of the metal. Just scratches, right? Kyle asked. Guy shook his head.
Nope, only thing hard enough to affect the ring would be, well, the ring.
He scratched this into the ring, and I never knew it was there. Hal looked slightly shaken.
Lex took Teddy back, settled it on his shoulder, and then he hit it sharply on the nose.
Give them a trickle, Teddy.
Curse you, Luthor, it sing-songed. But green flashed in its eyes, and a small glow burned once more in the Green Lantern rings.
Go ahead, Luthor said to them. Use your rings. I'm jamming their connection back to Oa, so they won't be able to look in on what you're doing. Do it. Watch what the five inversions showed to Abin Sur.
Guy immediately extended his hand, and a glowing green fist closed around Luthor's body, holding him in place. Lex winced, but he didn't seem all that surprised. Hal took his ring back and closed his fist. Kyle could tell he was focusing his concentration, and a green monitor appeared over their heads. The image flickered in the monitor. It showed a pile of rocks. The image was clearly from someone's point of view. The view shifted and turned. The rocks resolved into a broken wall. Whoever was watching was hiding. The movement allowed whomever it was to see what lay beyond the rocks. Manhunters. A dozen, moving together in close formation. They were all armed with energy rifles. The audio cut in with screams. Manhunters were firing on people. Gray-skinned humanoids with scaled skin and heavily ridged heads. They screamed as they were cut down. There was harsh, heavy breathing serving as background. As the manhunters marched, they chanted as one.
No one escapes the manhunters.
Teddy, oddly enough, seemed to be amused. Good times, it sing-songed. But it shut up when Lex glared at it. The viewpoint on screen shifted once more, and it looked past the manhunters. Behind them stood a small humanoid figure with an oversized head. It wore red robes and had blue skin. The figure's hair was white, and its features were wizened. It gestured and spoke. The words were automatically translated by their rings. Complete your sweep of the area. That immortal life signature is near here. We require you to bring it to us, that it may be put to good use. The image fuzzed and faded to black, shifting to another view now. The individual watching was obviously strapped down, and above it, manhunters stood, impassive, black faces looming within their field of view. Kyle suppressed an involuntary shudder, as he remembered being caught up in a similar situation. A guardian entered the field of view. This was another guardian, not the same as the one commanding the manhunters. He had in his hand some sort of surgical instrument, and he leaned over the being. Greetings, sentient, it spoke. It is with some regret that I must inform you that you are now the last of your kind.
You killed them all, the unknown being screamed.
It was necessary, the guardian replied, for the greater good. What I do now, he raised the surgical instrument, which gleamed and looked far too sharp, is likewise a necessity. Know that your sacrifice will bring order and peace to the universe. In the periphery of the being's vision were more guardians. Like an arena, Kyle thought. Or an operating theater. The guardian stepped out of the field of view, and the screams from the being's throat rose. A stunned silence pervaded the area around the Green Lanterns. Lex spoke easily to them, despite still being trapped within the green fist.
I don't think you set it up to get all the encoded information. It was a telepathic broadcast, so if you look closely, there's a separate layer to the recording, which includes emotional nuance.
Guy squeezed harder. It's some sort of trick.
Lex grit his teeth, trying hard not to cry out. Before Guy had gotten too far, Kyle had grabbed Guy's wrist. How? Hal's the one reading the information off his own ring. You said it yourself, that the one thing that can mark a GL's ring is its own power. Or another ring.
And if Lex had access to one, I'd think he'd have found a better use for it than this. Guy almost resisted easing up, but then John faced him. Let Luthor go. Manhunter database or not, Lex can't use a ring, even if he had one. Kyle turned to Hal, who had allowed the monitor to dissipate. He whispered to them. That looked familiar.
What are you talking about, Jordan? Guy asked.
That sky and the operating theater, Hal continued in the same soft voice. I recognized it. Right before I became Parallax, everyone assumes that when I got to Oa, I landed, surrounded by guardian corpses, right before I stepped into the central power battery to get its power. When I landed, the guardians were stepping through the central battery. I charged after them. I was so mad. I wasn't thinking straight. They ambushed me as soon as I got through. I remember waking up on that same table. When I woke up, I was Parallax, and the battery was gone. Troubled did not even begin to describe his expression. I'd always assumed I'd hallucinated that last part. I thought the central battery destroyed itself when I claimed its power. The more I think about it now, the more I realize that the power battery was destroyed deliberately, to ensure no one could follow them. Guy asked slowly,
You're saying you believe this?
Hal nodded. It feels familiar. Luthor continued to project smug satisfaction. Come now, gentlemen. You've all been badly used by the Guardians at one point or another. Stuart is the victim of an experiment to create a human Guardian, whom they abandoned once they were done. You didn't deserve that. The inhabitants of the Mosaic didn't deserve what happened to them, either.
John looked puzzled.
What do you mean? What happened to...
Luthor clicked his tongue.
Still can't remember? Can you remember what happened to your guardian powers? Does it make any sense that one moment you have abilities on par with the Owens, and the next you're on the other side of the universe and completely powerless?
Hal and John exchanged looks. Both seemed uncertain now. Guy squeezed the fist construct around Lex tighter.
Shut up, you're trying to confuse us. I am stating facts, Gardner. Lex replied harshly. For example, you have always been marginalized and ignored by the Guardians, eventually leading you to seek out better weapons until you finally come in touch with your true heritage. A heritage, I might add, that the Guardians end up suppressing in favor of having you as a human.
I am human, Guy growled.
You are also Voldarian, Lex snapped. Think about it. Your medical charts included notations that your Voldarian DNA was trying to purge your human DNA. That's not how DNA works. Men as smart as Dr. Midnight and Mr. Terrific could not possibly have made such a simplistic error, unless they were encountering something that was so far out of their depth that they had to describe it in those ridiculous terms. Yet the moment you put a Green Lantern ring on, everything was fine. Does that make any sense?
Lex looked him in the eyes.
The only way it does is that if someone was actively causing your medical problems, and then they stopped once you had the Green Lantern ring on.
Or the ring is strong enough to block out what caused it, Guy replied smugly.
But even he seemed uncertain now. The construct began to waver around Lex. Kyle was about to say something, but Lex cut him off.
And you? You I feel the most sorry for.
Kyle asked, What are you talking about?
They picked you because you would be easy to manipulate. Your psychic profile made you perfect for their purposes as the last Green Lantern. Responsible, strong-willed, but not too much. Capable, but... completely uncertain of himself. The perfect sort to be manipulated into giving them back their power once given the opportunity.
You're talking about the Ion powers, aren't you?
The same power that was once held by Parallax, yes,
Lex said.
The same power you gave up to allow the Guardians to return.
He grinned savagely at them. Except that's not exactly what happened.
The uncertainty was on all of their faces now.
Those things on your fingers are tiny green leashes that your masters back on Oa can use to command you. I can free you. I can lead you to strike back at them and free the universe from their tyranny. They seek only to expand their own personal view of cosmic order and will ruthlessly destroy, use, and exploit anyone or anything that gets in their way. You know this to be true. You've seen this to be true. You have merely been unaware of the extent of their actions. We matter as much to them as cockroaches matter to us. He spoke slowly. They have only recently reformed. They no longer have access to what happens on Earth by my actions. They have given the appearance of being defeated and destroyed in the past. But we have never truly shaken off their shadow. We have a chance to do so now, if you help.
Hal drew himself up to his full height, then glanced over his fellow lanterns.
What exactly do you want us to do, Luthor? We still don't trust you, but we'll at least hear you out.
Lex smiled brightly. That's all I ask. He turned to the side and said with satisfaction,
Teddy, full drain, if you please.
With a grumble, the stuffed bear leapt onto Guy's fist construct, and irised open his chest once more. There was a noise like an indrawn breath, and the construct vanished, freeing Luthor. The small spark their rings had displayed faded as arcs of energy shot from their rings into Teddy's chest. Even as the glow faded completely from their rings, Teddy remained unrelenting, continuing to siphon off the emerald energy into itself. Teddy's glow intensified, and though the rings appeared to be completely drained, he continued to absorb energy from them. As he did, those wearing the rings began to glow. The rings became dull, losing their metallic sheen, the color turning dark. That's when their screams began. Tiny cracks began to appear on the ring's surface, even as all four men seemed to explode with energy. Lex laughed wildly.
Wasn't entirely sure that was going to work. But I think...
He cut off abruptly as Teddy suddenly spun away, cutting off the energy from the rings. Teddy floated and bobbed, obviously out of control. Its little plush stomach seemed distended, and it spoke urgently in its sing-song voice.
I need to purge some of this energy, Luthor. I really will explode if I do not.
Lex knew what it wanted. It wanted to use the energy to rebuild its body. But that could not be allowed.
He pointed sharply at the eternal flame. Dump it into that.
Teddy glared and floated off with poor grace. The eternal flame flared and washed everything in green light. The four former green lanterns continued to glow. All of them had dropped to the ground, screaming in agony as the energies washed across their bodies. The energy pouring out from the former green lanterns had reached a point where Lex couldn't even look at them directly. He fished a pair of sunglasses out of his pocket and put them on. Hal Jordan was the first to recover, rising once more to his feet. He gave a wave of his hand, and the glow cut off around the other three. Hal rose above the ground, allowing the inert ring to slip off his hand as his uniform remade itself. Although still keeping the original green, black, and white colors, it had shifted to something more like armor and sported a cape.
What did you do, Luthor?
He asked, his voice tight with rage. But he held back.
I took off your leash. I took off your muzzles. He grinned. You had the power of the central battery. You had power that allowed you to manipulate space-time on a fundamental level. I know you aren't a scientific man, but surely you must have realized that it would have taken only a fraction of that power to destroy a Sun Eater and reignite the sun. The only reason you sacrificed your life in the process was because of the Owens' manipulation of you.
They were dead at the time, Hal snapped back.
No, they weren't. Your own memories prove it out. Try it now. Turn your power in on itself and look at what you really remember. They didn't die when you went on your rampage, Jordan. They escaped and made it look like you'd killed them. Then they continued to manipulate you from the shadows. Doesn't it seem strange that this keeps happening to them? Their so-called servants, especially the ones known as Great, end up turning against them? The Manhunters? Sinestro? You? Hal looked disturbed. You're telling the truth. Once a servant of theirs has outlived its usefulness, they make them turn, so that they can be used as a lesson. Given the time spans involved, perhaps they don't really do it too often, but it happens more often than should be likely, given how obsessed they are with control. There is no parallax, Hal said with dawning realization. I wasn't the Spectre, I was just... They made you believe all that. They had gotten into your mind. This entire area is cut off from Guardian influence. You are now possessed of your original Parallax powers, but this time without Owen interference. Lex grinned once more. How does it feel? Any desires to alter reality? Any murderous intentions? No. No, I feel... Right, I think is the word you're looking for. Whole. You have those parts of you again that the Guardians have been keeping locked away. Lex swept his gaze towards the other men, who had all gotten back to their feet. All of their outfits had changed. Same goes for the rest of you. You were all most useful to them as their servants. Wielding the powers that you have made you into threats to their order and to their plans for Earth. Guy flexed his fingers. He'd blossomed in height, becoming over 10 feet tall. His clothes had vanished except for a pair of black pants, red and blue markings appearing on his face and bare chest, but shifted and became green. I'm Voldarian again? You were always Voldarian, Lex replied sharply. All the Guardians did was lock you into human form and had your ring feed false data to any attempt to scan you. Why? Guy asked. I mean, I ain't like these guys. He gestured to his fellow lanterns. They got omnipotence and omniscience from being around the green stuff. Why are you calling me powerful? Luthor rolled his eyes. Because, you cretin, your average Voldarian normally took minutes to manifest weaponry. They were powerful warriors, but not on par with, say, a Kryptonian. You have held your own against Superman with these abilities on more than one occasion. You are a human-Voldarian hybrid. The human aspect is very good at retaining the green energies, which is just another of the many reasons Owens want to use us. Where your friends manifest their abilities outwards, you push them inwards. I wouldn't be surprised if you could create nearly anything you desired from your own body. Guy still looked skeptical, but flexed his fingers thoughtfully. He gestured to John. And you, a human guardian, a being that could match the Guardians and knows what they know. The only difference being that you have human desires, human priorities. I didn't want these powers, Kyle said coolly. You didn't want the responsibility, Lex said, rounding on him. The time for childish wishing and abdication of your responsibility is over. You really are this powerful. You have this much ability, and you have responsibility to use this power. Don't give it away. Don't give it up. Hal looked surprised. Funny, I would have expected you to talk Kyle into giving you his powers. Lex turned back. Read my mind, gentlemen. With your level of power, it should be child's play for you to do so. I don't want the power. I don't even want to have this job I have saddled myself with, but I am the best choice. I have a responsibility to Earth and to all humanity. If I realize this, and I can step up, surely the rest of you can as well. Guy crossed his arms across his chest as John, Hal, and Kyle exchanged looks. John's eyes were glowing green as he spoke. He's telling the truth. And he does have a plan. Hal's eyes flared green as well. This story about the Guardians is true, too. I just watched. I think I'm going to be sick. Kyle nodded. I just took a peek at Earth's recent past. He looked at Lex.
Luthor's been a busy boy, but everything matches up with what he said. Guy reconfigured his fist into an oversized gun barrel and stuck it under Luthor's chin.
I still don't trust you.
You don't have to trust me. You just have to listen closely and do exactly as I say, Lex replied. I want the same things you want. Justice. Vengeance for the wronged. Freedom for Earth. He made a grand gesture. You could strike out on your own, and you could probably even cause them some damage, but the Guardians are prepared for dealing with omnipotence. They're used to dealing with events of cosmic significance and power. You would wield your power like the blunt instruments you imagine them to be, and while you would hurt them, you would not be able to completely remove them. On the other hand, they aren't used to dealing with a single human intellect, operating at its most deceitful.